And I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's got to be something more to this. I mean, because he's doing his thing, shaking hands and leaving. I'm thinking, oh my God, like these are people that we need to talk to see if there's more business. And he's like, nah, I don't really like sales. I don't want to get salesy. I said, let me try. This time I was selling software full time for a company, calling on big retailers, but I was working remotely and I wasn't traveling that much. So I said, Damon, do you mind if I come with you to a couple of these things? And again, he asked, like, what do you mean? Don't you sell tree toppers? I'm like, I do other stuff. He's like, don't you have a job? I go, I do. I said, let me worry about that. And I moonlighted for about 6 months. He said, you know, it's your dime. So I went around and, you know, my family thought I was nuts. I was hiding it from my job, but everybody thought I was going to get fired. And, you know, I said, when do you get a chance like this? And 6 months later goes by, 6 months go by. He pulls me aside, and this is verbatim the conversation. He sits me down. He says, Maury, I don't understand you.
Okay. He
He says,
says,
you annoy the living shit out of me.
I go,
Wow. All right. He said, but in 6 months, you've brought in more incremental revenue to my corporation than anybody else has in the last 4 years. So quit your damn job and get over here.
welcome to the Rockstars Rocking Podcast, powered by Voluntary Disruption, a show dedicated to people who are crushing their business and life goals. These are bite-sized conversations with leading rock stars in their respective industry who are pumped to share their story to help drive you to the next level. So, are you ready to rock? Speaking of rock stars, here's your host, Eric Silverman.
Hey, rock stars, welcome back to another episode of Rockstars Rockin', and we're in 2020, so that's a hashtag, baby. Rockstars Rockin' today. Oh my goodness, boy, do I have a rock star with me. Everybody, please meet my friend Maury Shoueiki. Maury, if you don't already know, is the head of sales and retail for the Damon John Corporation, for lack of a better term, the Shark Group. He's also the founder and owner of One Life Advisors, as you've seen his product on Shark Tank, the way that I met him, and we're gonna get to that, don't worry. Welcome, Maury. Thanks for coming on the show, bud.
Thank you for having me, Eric. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Listen, man, boy, we could go on to we could go on for hours, I'm sure, because you got such an interesting story, but I want to keep this bite size, maybe 15, 20 minutes. So if you don't mind, I'm just going to dive right in.
No, go right ahead.
The very first question I have for you is where did this come about? For those of you that are only listening on the podcast, if you're watching on YouTube, you see I have in my hand a Christmas tree topper trademarked as a menorah mint. Did I say that right? A menorah mint.
Yeah, well, the name of the product is, which is also trademark, is the Hanukkah tree topper.
The Hanukkah tree topper, excuse me. Where did this come from, dude? It's one of those ideas. It's like light bulb goes off when I saw you on Shark Tank, and I'm like, holy shit, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. So basically, you know, I was raised very traditionally Jewish, right? You know,
As well.
My wife is of mixed faith. She has a Jewish mother and a Greek father, and she's from Australia. And so, you know, once we started having kids, which is now 18 years ago, I remember her coming to me on a few occasions when they, you know, when they started to get a little older, saying, you know, I want to have Christmas, you know, spirit in the house and put up a tree and put up lights. And I'm like, hell no, right? No way is that ever
That's what
coming
I said.
into my house, right? But as you know, some of your listeners are married men, they realize something, you know, very wise, and that is happy wife,
happy life.
Exactly. So about 10 years into our marriage, I finally caved and said, fine, just don't go nuts. Like, I love you and all, but just I can't do the nativity in my front room with baby Jesus. Like, we gotta draw the line somewhere. And you know, for me, it's all about the festivities of it all. I mean, I love, you know, I love the holidays. I always have. And I never thought the Easter bunny had anything to do with the resurrection of Jesus. You know, I mean, there's certain things that are just fun and tradition. So anyway, I remember being upstairs in my office, and, you know, she comes home and I can hear a bunch of rustling downstairs, and she tells me not to come downstairs until she calls me. This goes back to about 2004. And, she calls me, I come downstairs, and my dining room table is decked out with Hanukkah wrapping paper and gifts, menorahs and dreidels and blue and silver cloth. And in the middle of, and you know, in the middle of the table is like a 2 foot high little tiny Christmas tree. And it's decked out with like blue and silver ornaments all over it and garland. And on the top of the tree is a 5-pointed star. And I literally made a joke. I said, come on, you couldn't find a Jewish star to put on top of the tree? And she actually said, I looked for one and I couldn't find one. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, come on, you know, it's got to be out there. I mean, they were already doing things like the OC, if you remember that show, they had this little Christmaka trend and they had like a yarmulke with a little Santa thing on it. And they had like interfaith ornaments that they had made for trees, you know, dreidels and menorahs. And I'm thinking to myself, how could you not have the star? I mean, that's just silly.
Right.
And so I went online and I started looking. And I found a few that were like made out of aluminum foil or popsicle sticks, but no proper retail product. And I'm like, you know, kind of surprised by that. And then, you know, I start doing a little bit of digging because I come from a consumer packaged goods background and retail background. And I start doing a bit of digging and I find out that there was a study that was done in 2001 that said between whatever the years were, 96 and whatever, I mean, whatever it was, 15 years or so, that half of Jewish people in the United States married a person of another faith. And 90% of those people were from the Christian faith.
Well,
right, wrong, or indifferent, whether you want intermarriage or not, I didn't care. I mean, I, you know, that was just a statistic that said to me, shoot, there might be like a million households that are just like me. And so that's where the idea was born. It was literally a joke. And, you know, I didn't have the money to start anything up. I called up a, you know, buddy from my previous, you know, career who was a graphic artist and another guy who was a patent attorney and, or an IP attorney. And I basically sold both of them on the idea and got them to partner with me just for sweat equity.
Wow.
And yeah, it was born.
That's so cool. That's so awesome. And it is one of those ideas that everybody looks at and they're like, why didn't I think of it? But as you know very well, and everybody comes on Shark Tank, they are the people that put it to, they executed, right? Everybody has an idea. It's all about execution.
The entrepreneur has the idea in the shower. The entrepreneur has the idea and does something about it.
I like that.
And that's, you know, and that's, there's no secret to it. It's just working harder than the next guy, you know, actually, you know, sleeping less hours and, you know, getting on a plane to go to China for a trip that literally lasts a day and a half, you know, whatever you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it reminds me of that quote. I really don't know who originally said it, but hustle beats talent when talent doesn't work.
1,000%.
So let's talk about your experience, if you don't mind, in Shark Tank. Like, where did that come about? Like, and I'll give you a quick story. My cousin and her family started a business with kids and so forth. Long story short, they auditioned for Shark Tank. They got accepted to Shark Tank. They actually declined Shark Tank is the story my aunt and uncle and our cousins tell us. For whatever reason, I really don't remember. The story is, you know, 7-8 years old at this point. So, you know, you decided to go on Shark Tank, or I guess try to go on Shark Tank, and then you got accepted. Can you walk through the mental capacity of where that came about?
Absolutely. So, you know, basically I had, so we're going back to like 2011 or 2012, you know, at this point in time, I had, you know, I had the idea in 04 or 05, but I didn't actually put it, you know, by the time I got the patent issued and the trademarks and actually went and manufactured some product, I didn't actually start selling it until 09. That was my first year selling it. So after about a couple of years selling it, and I sold very, very well online and personally got it into a bunch of retail locations with some big box stores, I decided to try out. You know, I heard about this show, I was watching it, and I decided to try out. So I tried out for season 4, which was in 2011. Mm-hmm. And I auditioned online. You know, I submitted my info, I did a video. I actually got, you know, the way, just to give you and your listeners the numbers, 60,000 people try out every single year. From 60,000, they take a chunk of about 4,000 or 5,000 and they ask them to do a video. And you do a 5-minute video and you submit it. From that 5,000, they take 900. And those 900 go to LA. They've worked with their producers. They go to LA, they set up their entire setup, and they pitch to the producers as if they were the sharks.
Really?
From the 900, only 200 get asked to actually come back and film.
Wow.
And from the 200, only 120 air. So you could literally go there, set up, film, shake hands, make a deal, and never see TV. Wow. So it's, and you never know that you're going to be on the air until you see yourself on TV. They actually tell you that when you film, they're like, anything can preempt you, anything. You can get cut off the editing floor, you know, or something happens in the world and your episode gets thrown away. You know, in fact,
you're like ready to go. It's all recorded. You've met the sharks. You have your deal or you don't. It doesn't matter, right? And you're assuming you're going to be on TV, but it happens that somebody could be cut. I mean, is that
not could be? They will be, because, like I said, they film 200 and only air 120. They overfilm because you never know what happens. So yeah, there's also the people that literally will get there in the morning because they see 10 entrepreneurs a day, and each pitch usually takes between an hour and 2 hours. You only see 8 minutes of it.
Right.
There are people who have gotten there in the morning, and they're sitting in their freaking trailer for 9 hours. And the time comes where one of the pitches went over, where the producers have to go to that person and say, I'm sorry, you're not going to even film.
Wow. Ever?
And they don't get to come back. Never.
Wow.
Because the next day's full and they have their sleep.
Right.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal.
That's a grind.
So that's kind of the logistics of it. As far as my experience, you know, I tried out for season 4, which I believe was either 2011 or 2012. Went online, got to the video round, and then they came back to me and they said, we like you, but sorry. You know, maybe come back next year. And, you know, that's like, you know, you've gone through like 3 months and it kills you, right?
Sure.
So I kept kicking ass. I was working full time selling, you know, big software systems to retailers at the time. This has only been a side hustle for me. And the following year, you know, my sales were up again, and I heard that they were doing an open call in LA, and I live in San Diego. And I remember saying to my wife, you know what, I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to go do an open call. And, you know, cause they never got to see me in person for whatever reason. I thought that would make a difference. And she said to me, are you sure you were so heartbroken? I said, if I don't do it, I'm never going to forgive myself. So I remember they said that they were going to give out 500 bracelets, come early. You know, we're going to start auditioning at 10. I got there at 3 a.m. There was already 150 people in line. I sat outside in the freezing cold for, you know, however long it was. And I went in and I did my 60 seconds. And I decided to go a little nuts. I, you know, went in with the full on character and voice. I come from like a theater background, and I used to do actually cartoon voices professionally. So I went in with a whole shtick, as they say. And, but you know, I had my numbers, I had my targets, I had everything a business person would want to hear. And I was being loud and obnoxious, and there's 20 other people in the room and I didn't care. And I just went for it. And, you know, they called me back and they said, okay, you know, we remember you. Then they asked me to do a video, which I did in character, a 5-minute video, hired a videographer, the whole 9 yards. And then they call me back a couple days later and they say, we love your video, but would you be willing to do the video again, but this time not in character, just as yourself? Yep. And so I had to hire the videographer all over again, put the same clothes on, shoot the other 5 minutes and send it in. 2-3 months go by, I hear nothing. I assume it's done. And then one day I get a phone call out of the blue. Hi, this is so-and-so from Shark Tank. And it was a different person that I had worked with before. And she goes, you know, we're just wondering, we'd like to check in. We know we asked you to send in another video. You know, what's the status on that? I'm like, what are you talking about? I sent that in like 3 months ago. And she's like, you did? I go, yeah. She's like, okay, hold on. I hear some chatter in the background. She comes back on. She says, okay, we found it. Thanks. Bye. Click. I'm like, oh my God. And so then I'm waiting again. And another week or two, they call me and they said, all right, we're going to try to make this happen. And, you know, luckily I had a fun product. Luckily I had, you know, good energy, whatever it was. But I think what I was really, really lucky about was that it was a holiday item, because they didn't have that many holiday items and they wanted to create a holiday episode. So, you know, and that's what got me all the way through. But from the time I auditioned to the time I filmed, almost 5-6 months. And you're meeting with your producer on the phone every single week.
Wow. I told you before we started recording, and I'll say it again. I mean, my family and I love the show. We watch it all the time. And yeah. I vividly remember the episode. Now, I had to look it up, the date, because I didn't remember that. But it aired on December 13th, 2013.
Yes.
You probably knew that. Episode 12, season 5. Those mm-hmm. who have not seen it, go look it up. It's not hard to find. And I remember literally, and I don't remember the order, so forgive me, but I remember the episode because it was Tipsy Elves and the Menorman.
Yes.
And I
yes.
literally, we looked at each other, and my wife was like, I want one of those sweaters. And I'm like, well, I want the menorah if you're going to make me have this Christmas tree. So like,
I got the Hanukkah onesie, man.
Oh, yeah,
and exactly. And what's funny is that, we actually both live in San Diego. The founder of that company and myself
oh, really?
Both live in San Diego. Yep.
That was a Robert investment, I think.
Yes, it was.
One of his best Very, ones.
I think one of, if not his best one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's so cool. All right, so you're working with Damon John. He gives you an offer. You take the offer. Forgive me, I don't remember the exact details of the offer.
Let me kind of fill you in on something. So,
yeah.
You know, here I am. I've got this beautiful setup. I've got the topper you have, and then I have one that's kind of higher end and lit up and whatnot. I have two Christmas trees and
can't afford that.
No, I'm going. I'm going through my whole thing and, I come from 20 years of corporate and retail and all this stuff. And so they're grilling me like crazy, but they basically all say the same thing. And they're like, how much have you done in revenue? I'm like, I think at the time I'd done $150,000-$200,000. Cause remember, it's a product that sells 1 month out of the year to
right.
probably 0.1% of the population.
And it's inexpensive.
They're all looking, no, it's $20, and $40 for the larger one, but nevertheless, you buy one and you're done. And so they all kind of said the same thing, and I had done my homework on every single shark. And I thought maybe Lori, because of her QVC thing, and maybe Mark, because, he's Jewish and he's married to somebody who's not. And so down the line they go, and every shark goes out and they say the same freaking thing. Like, you are too good for this product. Is this your only job? Like, you seem really smart, but this is not a business that we want to invest in. It's like, right? So, Mark goes out. Robert goes out. Mark actually called me a mensch. Kevin said I was too good for this. Lori actually, it was an interesting one. She asked me a very personal question that I didn't want to answer on air, and I think that bothered her a little bit, so she went out. And there's Damon John. And I'm thinking to myself, nice, Jewish kid from LA, black dude who started FUBU, who lives in Queens. I'm like, honey, get the car. We're out of here. There's no freaking chance of hell, right?
Right.
And then he comes out with it and he says, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I was raised by a Jewish stepfather. And I love your message here. And I really think there's something about you, and I invest in people, not businesses.
Right.
So I'm going to give you a shot. And he gave me a shot. And I took it in a heartbeat, because honest to goodness, I would have given up my whole company for nothing, because right. my goal was, as lofty as it was to figure out some way to elevate myself, my standing, my career, my visibility, and figure out a way to somehow work with one of those five freaking rock stars, right?
Rock stars.
Guess what? You can't hit a target you can't see, and that's what happened. Because I'm the only guy in 12 years of Shark Tank to ever be on both sides.
So talk about how that happens. Like,
Yeah, so that it wasn't like Damon just said, yeah, here's a job.
And right.
Nothing like that. You meet, you have your little handshake, your little love affair, and then you go your separate ways and you don't talk to each other. And then, you're dealing with his staff. About 2-3 months later, so we filmed in September. 2 or 3 months later, I'm actually in New York on other business. And I call up, I think it was like in December, before or right after my episode aired, I can't remember. And I called up his staff person. I said, hey, I'm in town on other business. She said, hold on, comes back, says, actually, Damon's in the office. He'd like to sit down with you. We've never talked for that entire period of time.
Yeah.
So of course I'm a little, freaked out about that. I show up to the Empire State Building. His office is the entire 67th floor of the Empire State Building. And there's a massive sign on the door that says FUBU. I'm like, where the hell am I? This is like the most surreal thing in the world.
I bet.
I walk in, the staff is just as diverse as you could possibly imagine, with music going and vodka here and craziness over here. And I go into this huge conference room and this table, and I sit down and we tell each other our stories. We really get into it and we find a true connection with each other. From there, you know, I just, you know, he basically said, listen, I don't want to invest in this business and I don't want to take any equity from you. But if you're willing to license it, I'll put my licensing people on it and see if we could do something. And, you know, you just keep it and we'll see what happens in the future. I said, done. Cause I just wanted to stay relevant. That's all I wanted to do. Guy licensed it out in like 2 days to the biggest Christmas wholesaler that there is. And I get, you know, a great royalty every quarter forever for doing absolutely nothing. And, you know, I knew he had the vision to see that it was time to let my baby go off to college, you know?
Right.
And so we just, you know, at that point, he's just like, you know, let's just keep in touch. But of course, that wasn't enough for me. And so I was a pain in the ass for a year and a half. Basically, I would keep in touch. I kind of sense I was getting a little bit annoying. I'd back off, but I was still in the circle, a little closer, a little closer. And then I remember doing a favor for him. You know, I came from the world of health products. I sold tons of health products to retailers. He had launched an energy drink, and I called him up and I said, hey, do you want me to see if I can get this into a retailer for you? And I did, and I had never asked for anything for it. And then I did another favor for him. And then he called me up. He's like, you know, cause he kept on saying like, don't you just sell tree toppers? I'm like, no, I do other things. Like, you know, cause I mean, imagine his world, right?
Right.
So what really tipped the scales was he had me walk somebody through the Shark Tank experience that came after me. And I really did a pretty good job with a person who was very difficult. And he saw that I was able to kind of hold my own. And, you know, I come from corporate training. So what really tipped the scales was, you know, he's a huge keynote speaker and speaks for all kinds of companies. He took me to one. I think it was, or he asked me to come to one. I think it was Johnson & Johnson or Deloitte. I can't remember. And I remember seeing him on stage. The audience was totally mesmerized. He's got a DJ in the back doing the sound and the music. And everybody's like, you know, wide-eyed. I'm not looking at everybody. I'm not even looking at him. I'm looking at the front row because there's the CEO of a multi-billion dollar corporation sitting there with his entire team. And Damon's company, the Shark Group, is an agency. We do all kinds of activations for brands. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's got to be something more to this. I mean, because he's doing his thing, shaking hands and leaving. I'm thinking, oh my God, like these are people that we need to talk to see if there's more business. And he's like, nah, I don't really like sales. I don't want to get salesy. I said, let me try. This time I was selling software full-time for a company, calling on big retailers. But I was working remotely, and I wasn't traveling that much. So I said, Damon, do you mind if I come with you to a couple of these things? And again, he asked, like, what do you mean? Don't you sell tree toppers? I'm like, I do other stuff. He's like, don't you have a job? I go, I do. I said, let me worry about that. And I moonlighted for about 6 months. He said, you know, it's your dime. So I went around and, you know, my family thought I was nuts. I was hiding it from my job. But everybody thought I was going to get fired. And, you know, I said, when do you get a chance like this? And 6 months later goes by, 6 months go by. He pulls me aside and this is verbatim the conversation. He sits me down. He says, Maury, I don't understand you.
Okay.
He says, you annoy the living shit out of me.
I go,
wow. All right. He said, but in 6 months, you've brought in more incremental revenue to my corporation than anybody else has in the last 4 years. So quit your damn job and get over here. And so that was about 5 years ago. So I, that's how it started. And then on top of that, I also manage his entire retail portfolio because of my retail background. So talk about a 360. I'm now the guy that helps all of his new Shark Tank entrepreneurs find homes for their dreams.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That is such a great story. I mean, my goodness, persistence, determination. I mean, there, how many more adjectives could I think? They all describe the what you did. And it's
a lot of rejection, man. A lot of rejection too.
But are am I crazy or come on? I have the book right here. He signed it in person when I met him, and I met you in January. Yep. I read the book. I saw his keynote. Everything you're describing sounds very akin to what he described on stage in a different context. Am I wrong?
Yeah.
No. I mean, I think it's, you know, I remember his, you know, obviously he's got his Shark Points, you know, and it's all about that. It's setting a goal. It's doing your homework. It's loving what you do, remembering that you're the brand and keep swimming. You know, right. Those are his Shark Points. And, you know, it's, you know, there's no magic thing. I mean, the more adversity I suffered in my career and in my life just motivated me to do more. And I think if you follow the path of loving what you do, just so you know, I had an e-commerce startup in the 90s. I worked corporate for 10 years. I sold software for 10 years. I liked all my jobs. Never had a job. Actually, I had one job I hated, and it lasted a week. The tree topper, believe it or not, was the first thing I ever did where I didn't give a shit about the money. It was just because it was personal, and I was bringing a lot of joy to a lot of people. Look what happened.
Amazing.
You know? So I think that's a huge part of it, is loving what you do is a currency you can't count on paper.
Wow. Well, look, man, that we'll end on that, because I don't think it can get much better. I totally appreciate that story. For those of you that are not already connected with Maury online, he's big on LinkedIn, which is how I reconnected after I met him in person. Don't sell him, right? Don't give him a sales pitch, because that's not going to get you anywhere. And I appreciate you complimenting me on how I approached you. I just came to Maury, for those that want to know, I just came to Maury with genuine authenticity. I mean, I met him in person after I'd just taken a picture with Damon John, and I had to go get a selfie to show my daughter and my family. And I had to put it next to the tree. I don't know if you remember, Maury, but I found really quickly on my iPhone back to December when I was like, dude, that's your tree. This is my family. Yeah, this is no joke.
I remember. So, and you know, that doesn't, for those, you know, listen, I mean, yeah, I was on a show that has, you know, whatever, you know, 5 million viewership, and, you know, it's rerun a lot. I mean, I don't get recognized very often. Sometimes I do. But there has been probably in the last, you know, 7 years, you know, I've had, you know, I sold over 150,000 units. So I've had a lot of customers. But over the last 7 years, there's been probably, I would say, 15 people who have walked up to me, either at an airport, at an event I was at, whatever, and literally have said, this product made such a difference in my family. I mean, you can't even begin to discuss how that makes, you know, you feel, as you know, because I had done a million things for other people before that, big conference rooms, selling hundreds of millions of dollars of product, but this was my own. And, you know, it's a really amazing feeling to accomplish something like that, regardless of how many times I fell on my face and, you know, how much money was lost and how many problems it created. It was, you know, in the end, it's worth it.
Absolutely. Well, listen, I appreciate it. Everybody who's listening, or if you're watching on YouTube, if you're not already subscribed, please do me a favor. Smash that subscribe button and the little bell so you can get some notifications. If you haven't already given any type of review, a 5-star review would totally rock. Spread the word, spread the gospel of the Rockstars Rockin' podcast, and go connect with Maury. And obviously, tune in to season what coming up for Shark Tank? Season
12.
Holy crap. Season 12 of Shark Tank.
Mid October, back to Friday nights. Thank goodness, because we were on Sunday nights for a few years. And
we're looking forward to Friday nights kicking things off again. Well,
that's awesome. I'm looking forward to it. My family and I never miss an episode, and we watch the reruns on CNBC all the time. So thanks again, Maury. I appreciate it. And as I always say, don't just have a great day, make it a great day. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of the Rockstars Rocking Podcast. If you haven't done so already, make sure you're subscribed to the show wherever you consume podcasts. And if you feel so inclined, please leave us a review. 5 stars would totally rock. Until next time, Rockstars, keep rocking.